Baruch Hashem, it's always unbelievable to see how the Noshim Tzidkoni has come out, especially in such a late hour. And people, it's not your first year making Pesach, but they want to make sure how to do it properly. So we want to go through two parts of the preparations for Pesach. There's the Hachon Ruchnius, the spiritual preparation. What ideas, what goals do we have to aim at from the Seder? What can we take away from the Seder for the whole year round? And then all the halachas. Now all the halachas, we can't mention all of them, we just go to the basic halachas, which are especially in the gear for the Noshim Tzidkonius in the preparation for Pesach. The Shulchan Aruch writes that by the Yom Tov of Pesach you need to prepare 30 days beforehand with the halachas, because there's a lot of halachas which are, you can only do before Pesach, and once Pesach's here it's too late. So that's why we want to mention here some halachas. But we'll start off with sharing a thought which I saw this year, and it impressed me very much and it helped me. So maybe if you haven't heard it already, but if you've heard it already, you can benefit from this, from the Yom Tov and Pesach, and do something with. We know the Sefer is called, the Ramban calls it the Sefer Golos and Geula. That's where the history of Klal Yisrael and Golos and the Geula happened. And it goes to Shmois till Pikudei, till we had the Mishkan, reunited with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with the Shekhinah. Now if you look in the Haftorah of Parsha Shmois, the Haftorah brings a chapter in Yeshaya where Yeshaya Novi describes the Klal Yisrael, what's going to happen, lost his love, with the goyim who did bad to us, and with Klal Yisrael, and uses comparisons to what happened to Paroi in Mitzrayim, and to what happened to Klal Yisrael. And actually the first pasuk in that chapter already goes into and tells you what happened in Mitzrayim, and what's going to happen, lost his love. But we don't start by the first pasuk. We start by the sixth pasuk. And it starts the following. Haboim Yashosh Yaakov Yotzi Tzuporach Yisrael. Rashi explains what the pasuk is coming to tell you. Haboim, the people who came down to Mitzrayim, Yashosh Yaakov. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made that Yaakov should come along and dig and plant the roots for Klal Yisrael, and through that Yotzi Tzuporach, they blossomed. Klal Yisrael blossomed into a big nation. That's how Rashi learns. Rashi learns how Boim is going on. The people in the time of Mitzrayim, they had Yaakov Avinu who helped them, establish them, set them up, the Ruchnistic guidelines, and through that, Klal Yisrael developed and became a nation. A Mendel Hirsch explains it differently, and he says a thought here, and the Netziv says the same thought on this pasuk in a different reference. Rav Hirsch says Yaakov is the Golos Yid. Yaakov is describing the Yid in Golos, when Yaakov was in Golos and he was chased by Esau, by Lavan, and so forth. Yisrael is Klal Yisrael to the times of the Geula. So he explains the pasuk as following. Haboy, when the Geula is going to come, he says Haboy is not the time in Mitzrayim, it's on the other side. When the Geula is going to come, we're going to see how we are zoche to the Geula through Yashresh Yaakov. Yaakov acted like a root. The Golos Yid is like a root. When you look at a tree, a beautiful, big, tall tree, beautiful leaves, big fruits, but you wonder, where did this tree get this energy from? How did it get all the energy from the soil to go up to the leaves is through the roots, which are deep down in the dark ground, in the moist ground. Roots are things which people stamp on, but those are the kelim, those are the tools to enable that the tree should grow and blossom and shine afterwards. So the pasuk is saying, Havoy, how do you people who are going to come to the Gula, how are you zoichet? Because Yaakov, the evening golos, were like a shoresh, like a root. They were deep down, they were in the darkness of golos. They were trampled on by the goyim. They were stepped on by everybody. But that brings Yotzit to Parach Yisrael. That makes that Klal Yisrael, Yisrael in the Geula, can blossom, can shine, and can be so beautiful. What he's saying is here that the Golos in Mitzrayim, we always learned, and that's how we learned in school, in seminary, that what happened, Klal Yisrael, Avraham Avinu maybe did things which caused the Geula. We had to remove those Averas, and then we can become a Klal Yisrael. That's how we learned until now. But what he's saying is a new thing. That no, the Golos is just to remove the past. The Golos is giving you the tools for the future. Is with that where you have your Amunah in the Golos. With that where you show Kvod Shemayim in the Golos, even though you trampled on. With that where you search to do the Rotz of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Golos, that brings the Geula Yotzit to Parach Yisrael. That's how he learns this pasuk. And that's how we can understand why we start the Haftarah with this pasuk, because this is giving us the tone of what Golos is. Golos is a removal, not only a removal of Averus of the past, but it's building the person that he can establish the tools and the vessels to be able to blossom at the time of the Geula. Without a Golos, you cannot have a Geula. You cannot appreciate the Geula, because you have to have the vessels to enable that when the Geula comes, you should be able to shine and to blossom properly. The Netziv says the same thought on the same pasuk, and this pasuk is brought down in the Gemara in reference to the story which happened there. Rabbi Abba and Rabbi Asi were the Talmidim of Rabbi Yochanan. They were sitting there and learning about Rabbi Yochanan, and suddenly Rabbi Yochanan had to take a nap. Fell asleep over there. So Rabbi Abba took the advantage of asking Rabbi Asi certain questions which were bothering him. I'm not going through all the questions. These questions, it's fascinating. I'm just going to the fifth question which he asked there was, Ibnei Ma Talmidei Chachomim B'Bovel Mitzionim. The Talmidei Chachomim in Bovel, they go around dressed much nicer. It seems in those days, the Talmidei Chachomim in Bovel, the Rabbonim and the Yeshivas, they had a nice frak, a nice hamburg, and the ones in Atisol were going all around with simple clothes. And he wanted to know, why is that? Why are they going around more aristocratic, more dignified than the Talmidei Chachomim in Atisol? So I've asked the answer back. The reason they're doing that is because ain't the Talmidei Chachamim kol kach. They're not as big as Talmidei Chachamim as the Talmidei Chachamim in Eretz Yisrael. So they have to show the Kavodat Torah a little bit external, because they haven't got internal the same values as the Talmidei Chachamim in Eretz Yisrael. That's what I've asked the Talmud said. Suddenly Rabbi Yochanan woke up and he asked, what were you discussing over here? And they went through all the questions. And then he said, this question over here, says he got it totally wrong. It's not because of that. The reason is because in Bavel, the people don't appreciate the Talmud Chacham. The Talmud Chachamim are the same in Bavel and in Eretz Yisrael. Just that in Bavel, the people don't appreciate the value of a Talmud Chacham. So they have to show a little bit of an external dignity to show what a Talmud Chacham is. And in Eretz Yisrael, the people understand it more, so they don't have to. So the Netziv asked the following question. What is the debate here? Rav Asi felt they're not the same level, the Talmud Chachamim? And Rav Yechon said, no, you're totally wrong. They are the same level. So the Netziv explains, because of the two different ways how to go about it in learning. So the Talmid Chachamim asked the Sof, you asked them a question, they knew the answer straight away. The Talmid Chachamim in Bavel thought through it and analyzed it and took it apart, and then he came to the answer. So it looked like that the Talmid Chachamim in Eretz Yisrael is much bigger than the Talmid Chachamim in Bavel. But Rabbi Yochanan said it's not true, and the Netziv explains it with a moshel. A moshel which the Medrash in Kehelet brings. If you have two people who are inside a big palace, and they have to go out of this palace, and one of these people has a torch where he can go and see, shows him exactly the way, and the other one doesn't. So the first one, he will know exactly how to go out to the hallway and go out the front door. He'll get out very fast. The second one, it'll take him much more time. He'll go first into the wrong room, then he'll have to come out, then he'll trip over something, he'll go into a different room, and then eventually he'll come out. Now everybody outside thinks the first one is lucky because he got out much faster. But then the tip says the second one, he knows every room in the palace now. He learned something on the way. So the tip explains that's the difference between the Talmid Chacham in Bavel and in Eretz Yisrael. The Talmid Chacham in Eretz Yisrael, he has the light of Eretz Yisrael, so he knows the answers right away. The Talmid Chacham in Bavel, he doesn't have the light helping him find the way, but he goes through everything and he learns so much on the way until he comes to the right answer. And that's why Rabbi Yochanan said that Talmidei Chachamim in Bavel are greater. And as the Medrash says, the Talmidei Chachamim in Bavel are the ones who are going to bring the Geula. And the Gemara brings this pasuk: Haboim Yashish Yaakov Yotis Uparach Yisrael. So the Tzib explains the Talmud Chacham in Yaakov, the Bavelik and the Golos Talmud Chacham, he sets up the roots because he tramples, he goes into the wrong place until he finds out, discovers the right place, but that enables him, his Mesiras Nefesh for learning and his toiling in learning brings the Geula. So the Netziv and Rav Hirsch both say the same thought. The Shoresh of Yaakov, the Golos, which the Golos, he goes to the Golos, may be according to Rav Hirsch the physical trampling on, which we go through Golos, and we have to strengthen ourselves in Emunah and Bitochen and show the Rostam HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even if we live in an environment which is not so good. Maybe how the Netziv explains that the Talmud Chacham has to toil more in learning till he comes to the right answer, but those are the roots which bring the Geula eventually. So when we sit say tonight, we go through Maskel B'Gnus the Golos, we shouldn't just, okay, that was the story. We were out of Avodah Zarah, we had to get rid of Avodah Zarah, and now the Geula came. It is through the Golos where we still stuck out with our four things, and then when we spoke and said, Mishchul Kechu, we took away our Avodah Zarah, we went and brought a Korban Pesach. Those Koiches brought the Geula later. Those enable us to have the Geula later. And nowadays, we live nowadays, everybody's confronted with the Shoinah's challenges. He shouldn't think, I wish they would be here, why do we have to have this? No, these challenges are helping us. Despite the challenges, we still do the Rosh HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're still Moses Nefesh for whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to do. We are building the roots here for the Geula. And when we say in the Haftarah, in the Haggadah, V'hisha Amda L'Aviseinu, we all know in school they say V'hisha Amda is the Torah, which is Merumas in the letters of V'hi. But the Vilna Gaon says V'hisha Amda is the Haftarah which HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised us, which we just previously said in the Haggadah, Baruch Shem Haftarah Yisrael. What was the Haftarah? Haftarah was that even though Yedei Teda Kigei Yezaracha Be'eret Loilahem, you're going to go through a galus. You're going to go out. What's the haftacha? You're going to go out. What is it coming? You're going out with the chush gadol. But we mentioned already briefly last year, the chush gadol is the spiritual chush which we gain. And according to Avias and the Nitziv, we understand. In Golos, we get a rechus. We develop things in our koyachos ha-nefesh, which we couldn't develop in a time of Gula. And that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says. I'm giving a promise in you. You're going to go through a Golos, but this Golos is going to bring you to have a rechus godl inside of you. And through that, what we always develop things in the Golos, v'hisha amdala v'seinu. That keeps us in every other Golos, in every other situation which we're confronted with, that helps us, that we should know that it's not just, people ask, what did I do wrong? I have to suffer from this and suffer from that. You didn't do anything wrong. But if you, in this situation, you're mechazik yourself, and you try and continue to do the rosmach and ispochu, whatever your job has to be, you are developing and building roots for geula over here. And that's what we should come out from a Seder night. One of the things, besides the chizik and amun and bitochem, we should just know that a golus is a golus, not just to remove the past, but build us for the future. And when you're sitting and cleaning and preparing for Pesach, you can also keep this in mind. That this is also showing the love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to do the mitzvah properly, that builds us and develops us. Our children see them as established frame. And he doesn't see our complaining, what is hard work, we're doing it, and we're trying to do it in the best way. We are building ourselves, and we're building the mishpacha, and let's hope that we should really come to use the main purpose of the Golos to bring the Gula b'mehera. Going now to the preparations for Pesach, there's the various stages in the preparation for Pesach, starting with the cleaning, because chametz, erev Pesach, and Leil Seder. So let's go in this order. Cleaning for Pesach, we have to know there's three categories of places, and each category is a different way how you have to clean. Places which I'm going to sell to the goy, it's sufficient that you wash your dishes and pans and pots the way you wash them the whole year round, and put them in the closet and mark off the closet that it's sold, and that's enough. You don't need any toothpicks on the mixers or any scrubbings on the frying pans. You can leave it the way you have the whole year, because we sell the chometz and the kelim, and even with people who don't sell real chometz, but whatever chometz is attached there is not considered included in this minhag. So it's sufficient, you just wash everything normally, put it in the closet, and lock it up and mark it. The second place is places which we use on Pesach, but we don't use it with food, in contact with food. The bedrooms and other rooms which we don't eat. So Chazal said that you have to do B'dikas Chometz, because we were scared that on Pesach you're going to find a Gluski offer, something nice, and you might regret that you said Kol Chamira on it, or you might come to eat it. So that's why you have to search for a Gluski offer. So any place which you are not selling to the goy, it's sufficient, you go and look, you go to the closet and you take out the clothes, you make sure your children didn't hide anything underneath their sweaters and shirts, and there's no gluski oven, there's no pretzel. But you don't have to look for teeny crumbs, and again, you don't have to brush off the walls in the bedroom and go with the screwdrivers in the cracks, because we are not worried of crumbs here. We're only worried of gluski oven, of something substantial, which is something nice. The main activity for cleaning happens in the places where you eat. In the kitchen, the living room, dining room, because there we are worried about even a little crumb. Because if you come into food on Pesach, even if you don't know about it, you are over the Issa Chometz. So there you have to clean all the surfaces properly, and then you cover the surface with a thick waterproof way. Everybody has their own methods to make sure, either you cover with a few layers of foil or some other linoleum. There's all kinds of inventions which people have, and you make sure that it's waterproof that nothing will come through, so then you can use that surface on Pesach. You have to be aware that by the surfaces, the walls, the back walls of the counters should be covered also, because sometimes you push a pot or something towards the wall and it splashes and it goes back and forward. So but there it's sufficient to cover it once with some foil or something, and that you shouldn't come in direct contact with the wall. Also the exhaust fan over the stove, make sure that you have it covered, because that's very hard to clean. The fridge, mi'ikar din, is sufficient if you clean it. You take a detergent and clean it properly and make sure there's no crumbs there. Some have the minik to cover the fridge, make sure that you don't ruin the cross ventilation, that the fridge should still work properly. The same is in the freezer. Now in the freezer, you could leave things which are not chametz, which you don't want to use on Pesach, but you have to make sure to mark it clearly that this is not for Pesach, so nobody should be mistakenly take that, especially if there's a lot of guests who come and they're snooping in the freezer and they're looking for something special, they should take the wrong things. So you have to have it's not for Pesach, and also you have it included in the Shtar Mechira, you write boxes in the freezer, whatever it is, should be included in the Shtar Mechira and should be sold. Ice cube trays we use, normally you fill them up in the sink, should not be used on Pesach because that's like kalim, which you use normally with chomet, even though you use it only with cold, you shouldn't use them on Pesach, you should have special ice cube trays. The ones who have the fancy fridges which have ice cubes coming out of the freezer automatically, it's sufficient if you clean that place out, because then there's usually no chomet, and you can use the ice cubes on Pesach. Kalim, which you don't use with food, and the Kiddushidayim cup, candlesticks, vases, and so forth, is sufficient that you wash them properly off, and you can use them on Pesach. Some people have the minhag not to put the candlesticks on the table where there's food, and when you wash the candlesticks on Pesach, you should make sure that you shouldn't wash them in the Pesach sink, you should wash them in a bathroom sink, because they might have been washed in a chametz sink. One has to be careful also nowadays, you talk on the phone while you're eating, that there's chametz there, cell phones, computers, sometimes you do something in the middle while it's chametz, that it should be cleaned, wiped off properly, make sure the car is clean, if you have an office, you have a cubbies, which is especially yours, or the milk carton, also should make sure that there's no chametz left by anybody. Books and Svarim is also, there's three categories. There's Zmiras and benches which you use by the Chometz table, or Chumash set which you use by the Chometz table. So those, you shouldn't try to clean them, you should sell them, put them away, and put them in the sold stuff. Normal Svarim, which you normally don't use by the table, you can use on Pesach without cleaning. It's not worth going through them like that. I made experiments, and the crumb still stays stuck there in that page, doesn't come out. So don't do that sufficiently. If you go over to the bookshelf and you wipe the bookshelf and you make sure there's no crumbs on top, maybe somebody put some food there while he was going somewhere, and you make sure that that's clean, that's sufficient. But those forms you should not use at the Pesach table, because they might have crumbs, because you weren't 100% sure that you didn't use them next to crumbs. The only sfarim you should put on the table is benches and haggadahs and zmiras which are designated for Pesach, so then you know for sure that they're clean. Those ones you can use for Pesach. Similar with toys, you clean them and then you can use them on Pesach, but don't use them on the table because you don't know 100% where the crumbs are. And you should only use on the table when you eat toys which are only used on Pesach. You should be careful that extra furniture which you don't use during the year, that you might use when you have extra guests, like a high chair or an extra table or some chairs, that you should clean them before Pesach, and you shouldn't be surprised when you bring them up on Pesach that suddenly there's some chametz lying there from a different time when you use them. And buggies and other strollers which you might use when guests come, make sure that all of them should be clean before Pesach. With clothes, it's sufficient when you wash them normally in the washing machine and you put them away carefully without lying in the chovetz, you can wear them on Pesach. Clothes which you didn't wash exactly before Pesach, as long as you know there's no obvious stains on them or crumbs, give them a little shake. Of course, pockets you have to check, as it says in the Runchai, but then afterwards you can use them on Pesach. That's in reference to preparation and cleaning before Bedikas Chometz. For kashering, you'll read the Runchai, and well, it's only in German, but ask somebody to translate for you if you can. And basically, everything should be clean 24 hours beforehand, and you should leave it clean and not use it, and make sure that it's clean, there's no rust on it, and there's no furniture polish, not furniture polish, silver polish, shouldn't be left stuck in any cracks. Now, if you want to cash at home something for Pesach, you have two options. Either you take a chametz sticker pot, which wasn't used for 24 hours, and you fill it up with water. If you want to be a machmir, you let it splash over a little bit, and then you cash the pace of thicker things there. And then you put that pot away by the salt chametz pot. Or you can take a Pesach pot, and you can cash it, and you can put all the stuff in which you need to kasher. But then, after kashering all the stuff, you should let the hot water go over the rim, then you should kasher it again for Pesach. With glass ceramic stoves, I have no news, unfortunately. It's still the same. If you have one, try to get an electric, not a plate, an electric stove, which you can plug in, and try them out before Pesach, which fuses you can put them on that you shouldn't have some excitement on air Pesach. Braces and all other things which you have, and your teeth, you should make sure not to have hot chametz 24 hours before Pesach, clean 24 hours before the zman is a chametz, and then you clean your teeth air Pesach before the zman is a chametz, that's sufficient. That's also good for the rubber bands or all other contraptions which you have in your braces. You can use them, it's sufficient if you clean them. Selling the chametz. So if you're leaving early, going away for Pesach, if you're selling the chametz with our shtar mechira, you have to sell it the last moment before you go away. Because according to our shtar mechira, the sale is valid right away. So if you're selling and renting out your whole apartment, then you won't be able to sleep there and eat there anymore because you sold it. Even though we write in the contract that after the mechira I'm allowed to go in to get something, but you won't be able to use it. So the only way to do a mechira's chametz is either you do it just before you leave, or you appoint somebody else, give them the power of attorney, to sell it for you after you leave, and he should sell it for you. Now, in the meat, since the rent, you don't have to think that you take the amount of rent which you pay a month, divide it in four for 1 week, and charge it as Christ's my rent over there, because you are not renting this apartment for him to live in. You're renting him to keep a few boxes of chametz there. So the rent is much cheaper, so you can give a much cheaper rent, 50 francs, 100 francs, for the rent which you charge, and you don't have to charge him a lot. Now, I want to mention something. The guy complained last year. We always tell in the Rundschrei that when you buy it back in the Shtar Mechir, it says you should buy it back for a higher price so that the guy should feel that this was a real deal. So the guy said some people paid 1 franc more out of what they sold it for, and he doesn't feel that that was really a sale and a bad sale back. So you should give a substantial amount, maybe a minute, depending on how much you pay for the whole Mechir's Chometz, but the minimum of 5 francs or 10 francs or something, that you should realize it was his and you really made an effort to buy it back by paying much more to get it back. Also, people who are traveling abroad should make sure that the Mechir's Chavos should start on the time before it's Pesach where they are, or mainly if people go to America, then the sale back, if somebody else is buying it back for them, should be after it's already Nacht where they are in America, which is around 6 hours later. Now, products for Pesach, I got the question this year about silicone baking stuff, and I asked various cashier's agencies, is there any problem with it? And one of them wrote back to me, don't take from China and India, we don't recommend it, because then it mixes into the silicone other stuff. Get brand names, and that's pure silicone, and then it's no problem. He told me something called Silipot, but I don't know what in Switzerland what the common things are. Now, also, what was last year, a few people asked me about was this cassava flour made out of some kind of root vegetable from South America with a heksher, with a reliable heksher, Kosher Pesach, from Brazil. That is no problem of kidneys. You can use it because you cannot make any kind of bread like you could do with rice. You can't make any cakes out of it. I was told that it makes good knedlach for the people who don't eat gebrach. It's a very good substitute. So that is not a problem. Of course, you should have reliable hashi kosher Pesach. Quinoa, that's also some kind of plant in South America, even though some kosher agencies in America have approved it, kosher Pesach, with a heksher, of course. But my uncle, Bisol Belsky, he was the opinion that it, since you can make bread out of it, like rice and all these other things, which is the Xeris kidneys on it, and he held you shouldn't use it on Pesach for the people who are marked on kidneys. And here again I want to mention about paper plates and napkins and paper towels and all these things that my father Zecher Tzadik Livracha was of the opinion, even if there's a starch there, the starch is not for human consumption. And even though normally on Pesach you need that should be nifstam achilas kelev, that a cannon can't eat it, but that's only when you take this, you could take this food otherwise and make maybe another dough out of it. But nobody takes paper towels to make a dough out of it, or paper plates. And the Rambam says that also you're allowed to use detergent out of chametz to wash the clothes, because nobody's going to take his clothes and start a dough or anything out of it. So that's why it's no problem. It's nifsel machilas odom. You don't need nifsel machilas kalem over here. And it's no problem. You can use any kind of brand. Rubber gloves, the same thing also. Even if there's a lot on it, that powder is not edible, and nobody uses and licks his fingers off this powder, is enjoying this chametzil. There's no akshav on it, so halachically, there's no problems. One has to be careful by rodent traps or hand traps that they might have proper chametzide, which is not nifstam achilas kelev, and you shouldn't use them on Pesach, or you should put them away for Pesach. Honey also, there's various problems which can be with honey. They can mix in, sometimes they mix in other things, but even if they don't mix in, but the way they process it, as we've seen now in the last few weeks, that the way they vacuum it, they can use steam from other places which could be not kosher Pesach, so that's why it shouldn't be used without a reliable hashem. About medicines, I have to point out, it's very important that medicines which you take for a life-threatening thing or to prevent a life-threatening thing, heart medications, blood pressure medications and so forth, you should not change them unless the doctor says that you can change it. But there's no inyan to change these medications on Pesach. If you want and the doctor says you can have the equal medicine which is on the list, then you can do that. But otherwise, don't change them. The main reason for the list is for medications which are for small, when you're not feeling well. For example, you have a toothache, a headache, a meichesh ba'alma. So then, you are not allowed to take any chometz. So then, you can take medications which are from the list. And you're not allowed to take any other medication which is not on the list. Somebody who's a choyle she'en bo'y sakona. He's not life-threatening, but he's in bed. and he needs a medication. So that any tablets which you just swallow, me'ika hadim, he can take. You don't have to take necessarily from the list. Just there, if you have a possibility to get the same tablets which is on the list, then you should do that. Now, after Bedikas Chometz, you should make sure that all the classes which are sold should be marked, and all the Chometz which is left over should be in a special place, and you should make sure that the vacuum cleaner and the broom and the dustpan are all clean so that you can use them on Pesach. On Erev Pesach, this year it's Erev Shabbos, it's especially important to make sure you have all preparations for the Seder. This year's celebrations could not be done on Shabbos, like roasting the egg and Zeroya cannot be done. The other things could be done on Shabbos, but they would have to be done with all kinds of shinuyim. The Moro had to be graded in bigger pieces with the shinuyim, the chavoyses also. You have to do a shinuyim in the salt water, you'd have to make small amounts. But to avoid any halachic shailas, then you should make sure that you should do all these things before Shabbos. Now for Hadlokas Neiros, this year especially, everybody is going to light the first light before Nach, before Shkia, because it's Shabbos. So when they make the Shechianu, the ones who make Shechianu about Hadlokas Neiros and Yom Tov, I've learned that since last year, a lot of the Yekish ladies don't, but the ones who do make Shechianu on Yom Tov, on Pesach, should having in mind only the Yom Tov of Pesach. So when it comes to Seder night, they still could make really a Shechianu on all the mitzvahs halayla, which is the matzah, the moran, the haggadah, but we don't make a specific Shechianu on them. So then, by the Seder, they should ask a man who's saying the Shechianu to have in mind to be mitzvah to them, and they should say Amen on that Shechianu. Preferably the second night, even though it's Nacht at the time when they do Hadlokas Neiros, they should only have in mind the Yom Tov of Pesach, and then by the Seder, when the Baal HaSeder, the leader of the Seder, says the Shechianu, he should have in mind to be moitz to the ladies with the Shechianu for all the mitzvahs of that night. This year, the second night is the Havdalah. We don't light a special Havdalah candle. We just take two candles, existing candles. You put them next to each other. Some people put them next to each other, but you don't hold the candles together to make one flame like on a normal Havdalah night. And also, it's an exception that this time the ladies can drink the Havdalah, also drink the Havdalah wine like the men do. Now, by the mitzvahs halayla of Arba Koises, Matzah, wherever you do have, men do Haseba, even though ladies do not do Haseba, but they should drink it in dignity like their Cheiros while they're sitting. For example, if the soup is cooking, they want to check the Knedlach, they shouldn't just get up in the middle of eating their Matzah to check it. They should first finish eating and then do it, or drinking their Bechas and they have to take care of their baby. So then they should first drink their talent, whatever the case, and then get up, not finish drinking while standing up. Because even though they don't have to lean, but it has to be their chelos that you're eating there relaxed, or to try to be relaxed at least. Now, this year, because of Shabbos, the first bacha, as it says in the chart, once we still have the chart, the first kois should be 1.3 deciliter, because Kiddush on Friday night is Doraisa, and the Mishnah Berurah writes you should have a bigger shear for that. The other ones you can go down to 1 deciliter for a kois. Now you should drink, preferably you should drink the whole kois. Again, diluting, we went through other years, you can dilute it with grape juice according to need, or with water up to 1/4 wine and 3/4 of water. But you should try to drink the whole kais, and if it's hard, drink 3/4 of the kais, or a little bit more than half. It's recommended to have a small kais, because then you have to drink that much. Now for the last case, if you only have a limited shear of Ervias, so then you have to drink the whole case to be able to say Alagafen. If you can, which is very understandable sometimes, then you should drink Rav Kais, and you should ask somebody else to be made to you with Alagafen. Children, even though it's a mitzvah for them to have valid kaises, it's not ma'akev, according to a lot of opinions, they don't have to drink, and also they don't have to drink Rav Kais, they don't have to drink a cheekful of their cheeks, which could be 2 centiliters or 3 centiliters. It's much less than by a person. Now, the women have to be careful that when you drink the kaises, Chazal say you have to drink them al haseder. Each kais comes before and after something else. It's after the halal or after the benching and so forth. So they can't just get up and miss something and start drinking because everybody else is drinking. They have to do the following. Whatever's needed, they should do. If they can't do it themselves, they should listen to somebody else, for example, who reads the Haggadah or who says the halal, and then drink the kais, then it should be al haseder. This year, Shabbos, there's also a chiyuv of the shlishis. Because it's late on in the year, the last time to finish it is 5:30, so it's pretty late, and you should try to some split up the meal, the yontem meal, but sometimes maybe it's not necessary because you can make a suda shlishis later on in the afternoon. By nirtzah, we know the halacha is that you should try to stay up until you fall asleep. Now, the poet can say it doesn't mean you have to literally fall asleep, but if you won't go to sleep now, you won't be able to get up tomorrow on time, it's considered chatfos ishina, and you can go to sleep. We know, and this is what I want to finish off with, that by the midst of Pesach, the Torah says, Vayelchu Vayasu. When they were commanded to do the Korban Pesach, it says straight away they went to do the Korban Pesach. But we know they didn't do the Korban Pesach until 10 days later, when they got their animal and they kept them in their bed for 4 days. So Chazal say, no, but since they accepted upon themselves that they want to do it properly, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he gave them the Zcha, Ki'ilu they did it. So my bracha is, the Noshim Tikonis are getting ready, and they want to do everything properly, they should have the Siyat and Dishmaya, and they should have the Zcha ready now, Ki'ilu they've done everything properly, and with that, they should be Zaycha maybe, to bring the Korban Pesach still, and to see the Gula Shleimu B'mehar Yomeinu.